We will read together the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. We'll end our reading there at the verse 14. May the Lord be pleased to stamp with His own blessing the public reading of His precious Word. As we have the Word of God open in our hands, let us unite our hearts for a moment, please. We'll seek the Lord, His wisdom and blessing, as we come to the Word. Our loving Father, we praise Thee tonight for the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it is all of Thee, and our eyes are unto Thee, as we come to this precious Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt cause the things of earth to grow strangely dim in the light of our Savior's glory and grace. We thank Thee for the glory of the gospel, for the marvel, the wonder, that at the cross God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, so that tonight there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, There is a door that is open, and sinners may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. Oh, we pray that through the preaching of the Word that there will be a great coming to the Savior in this meeting. Pray that there will be a breaking off with sin and a laying hold by the hand of faith on eternal life. Lord, this is Thy work. We are looking to Thee. Build Thy church through the simplicity of preaching the gospel. Lord, breathe upon us and bless us here and magnify Thy great name. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul tells us that God hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Ephesus was noted for its literature, its arts, and its learning. It was also the site of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the temple of the goddess Diana. Paul preached Christ. He preached the glorious gospel in this important city. Here is how Paul described the opportunity presented to him in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Those who got their living out of making shrines for the goddess Diana, when the converts to Christianity began to multiply, they rose up in wrath, in fury. And so hot was the antagonism, so intense was the hatred shown to Paul, that he likened it to fighting with beasts. Oh, the apostle knew what it was to be rejected by men. Often his liberty was taken away, and his feet were put firmly in the stocks. This great apostle, he was stoned. He was beaten with rods and left as dead. The enmity of man, man's intense hatred to the gospel, Paul faced it all with a quiet confidence, for he knew that he had a perfect standing in the eyes of God. With absolute certainty, he could say, "God hath made us accepted in the Beloved." He could boldly say, "I am accepted in the Beloved." Now, what a tremendous statement that was for the chief of sinners to make. This is what so many are seeking after. All their good deeds, their actions, their benevolence. These things are to this end, that somehow, through them, they might have acceptance with God. It eludes them. They do not find it. For acceptance with God is only found through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this should be your whole desire. It should be the very longing and deepest desire of your soul to be accepted before God, to be right with God, to be ready for the great eternity. God hath made us accepted in the Lord. Now let us think about this text tonight in a threefold way. First of all, dealing with the absence of acceptance. The implication of verse 6 is that man is in a state of non-acceptance with God. You have no acceptableness before God out of Jesus Christ. In fact, you are in the position where the very opposite is true. Far from being accepted, you are condemned already. And men and women, original sin is in every heart. It's equally in us all. There's no person in this meeting tonight that is better than someone else by nature. The image of fallen Adam is as deep and as black and as broad in every one of us as it was in Cain, as it was in Judas Iscariot, as it was in Saul of Tarsus. The divine commentary on fallen man is all-embracing, all-inclusive in Psalm 14 and the third verse. The verse reads like this: they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. We are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By natural generation, every one of us abide under heaven's displeasure. Our sins, yours and mine, have left us in a state where we are cut off from God. Our sins have separated between us and the Holy God. What is stated in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 30 is true of sinners. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. These people in Jeremiah chapter 6, they glitter and glow as if they had true silver in them, but there is nothing of real virtue or goodness, and for that reason they are rejected. The Lord does not recognize them as His people. And such is the ruin wrought by sin. We bear the stamp of the ungodly. What a fearsome state to be in. Ungodly. Psalm 1 and verse 6 makes it clear. The way of the ungodly shall perish. This question is raised in 1 Peter 4 and verse 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, you have no place to stand in the judgment. On the judgment day, your own heart will condemn you. You will acknowledge the righteousness of the fearful sentence, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." It is a fact. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As you are presently in this meeting tonight, Christless, graceless, in your sin, there is an entire, a total absence of any acceptance for you with God. Oh, take stock of your position. A condemned, already sinner. A lost and perishing soul. Between you and God, there is an absence of acceptance. Secondly, we think of the acquiring of acceptance. The question is, how can God, who is holy, ever accept vile, wretched sinners like you and I? This word accepted, it is found again in Luke chapter 1 and the verse 28. And there it is translated from the original as highly favored. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. Gabriel, the angel, said to Mary, "Hail thou that art highly favored." Or if you have a margin in your Bible, "are graciously accepted," are much graced. Mary, in the eyes of God, was highly favored. It's the same word as accepted in the original here in Ephesians 1 and verse 6. How can you, a guilty sinner, be highly favored in the eyes of God? What a question. The answer to that question is in Christ alone. The Lord Jesus is the beloved. We remember on the occasion of the Savior's baptism in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." Is there anything unacceptable in Jesus Christ? In His person? Who is He? He is the second person of the glorious Trinity. And can it be that one person in the unity of the Godhead should be acceptable to the others, unacceptable to the others? He is also man, and as such the fairest among the sons of men. He is the Son of the Highest. And men and women, as Saul was head and shoulders above all the men in Israel, so hath God anointed Christ with the oil of gladness above His fellows. Oh, there is none like the Beloved in His person. None like Christ. There's none like the Beloved in His passion. In Hebrews chapter 1 and the 3rd verse, Paul speaks of Christ, who being the brightness of the Father's glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Paul is saying, such is the worth, the value of Christ's sufferings on the cross, that He has made a full satisfaction for the sins of His people. And in view of Christ's perfect sacrifice, it's possible for our sins, vile and black as they are, hell deserving as they are, it's possible for our sins to be purged, to be put away, to be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We learn from Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 that it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to accomplish, to make atonement through the shedding of His precious blood. That work has been accomplished. It's finished. And God's acceptance of it has been demonstrated in the resurrection. The Lord is now seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Lord has purchased, He has acquired your acceptance. It is in Him, in the Beloved, that sinners are accepted. Not in yourself, or through your own supposed righteousness, but through Jesus Christ. To be accepted with God, you must tonight in this service break off with your sin. Cast yourself on the mercy of God, accepting by faith the Lord Jesus into your heart. During the Second World War, some young women from the mining valleys of Wales, they sought fame and fortune and marriage by emigrating to America. Not having passports, they stowed away on ships bound for New York. But their carefully laid plans came to nothing when they were discovered and returned to their native land. When Hitler declared war, thousands of American soldiers arrived in Britain to strengthen the Allied cause. And many of those soldiers were dispatched to Wales. Relationships were formed. Weddings were celebrated. The girls from Wales, they discovered a new way of achieving their ambition of getting to the USA. And when they made their way with their husbands, what a reception they received. The red carpets were rolled out. The bands were playing. Welcoming arms were waving. The reception the second time was different because they had a new relationship. The second time the authorities looked at the husband, it was for the sake of the husbands that the wives were welcomed to America. Or in other words, they were accepted in their beloved. And this is the only way that you can be accepted with God. Through the cross work. Through the finished work. We think of those lovely words recorded in Romans 5 and verse 11. Listen to them. Paul says, "But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." William Tyndale, when he was translating the scriptures from the original Greek, he was at a loss to find a word to set forth the richness of the original, and he made a word out of two English words, atonement. Atonement. Well, here is what the work of the cross has accomplished. It has put in place the means whereby strangers to grace and to God can be brought to the place where they are at one with God, accepted in Christ. The hymn writer said, "Jesus, the sinner's friend, we hide ourselves in Thee. God looks on the sprinkled blood. It is our only plea. He hears Thy precious name. We plead Thy name alone. The Father must accept and bless His well-beloved Son." Oh, run to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come to the Christ of God. Trust in Him. Do not wait a moment longer until you can say, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Acceptance has been acquired at the place called Calvary. And finally, let us think about the assurance of acceptance. As you look at this sixth verse, there is a ring of assurance. This is not something that Paul is still longing for or waiting for. He says, "God hath made us accepted in the Beloved." It's a reality that all who are Christ's are accepted. Matthew Poole, the Bible commentator, he said, "We are hateful in ourselves as sinners, but accepted in Christ as sons." As Christ is the beloved of God, so is each one in Him. We have the Lord in prayer before the Father in that lovely 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And in verse 23, the Lord Jesus says to the Father concerning His people, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Oh, how amazing. As Christ is the beloved of God, so is each one in Christ. The Father loves those in Christ even as He loves the Son. With that same eternal, unchanging love, so near, so very near to God, you cannot nearer be. For in the person of His Son, you are as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, you cannot dearer be. The love wherewith He loves His Son, such is His love to thee. Note that it is in God, through Christ, that we are accepted. This work of acceptance is all divine. It's a sublime work. There are no flaws or imperfections or failings in it. The Lord Jesus could say in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God is perfect in all of His ways. And tonight for you, there is a perfect salvation. And having the fear of God, having the favor of God, then you need not fear the wrath of men or devils. May this blessed assurance be yours. It can be. The question on your lips tonight, may it be the same as on the lips of those on the day of Pentecost, when in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they asked, What shall we do? What will you do? Call on Christ to save you, to pardon you, to cleanse you, to justify you in His own blood. Here's a lovely gospel promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, wherever you are in this service tonight, the Lord has been speaking to your heart. What an awful thing to be in the place of non-acceptance with God. To be in the place where you have no standing before God. Perishing. A perishing soul. But you can have the assurance of acceptance. You can have the knowledge of acceptance. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He had the sweet assurance, it's well with my soul. Oh, come tonight, forsaking your sin and receiving by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you too will be able to say, God hath made me accepted in the beloved. Let us pray. As we're bowed in the presence of the Lord, O soul, to whom the Lord has been speaking, to whom the Spirit of God has been striving, do not turn away your ears from hearing. Do not harden your heart once again. But tonight, seek the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Tonight is the accepted time. There's no better time than the present to get the matter of your soul's salvation settled and to be right with God. This is the night of opportunity. The door of grace is open. The Spirit of God is striving. The Lord is calling you to Himself. He hath said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Be in time. Be in time. If we can be of help to you, we're here, your servant, for the Savior's sake. Feel free to make your need known to us at the door tonight. Speak to the Christian that you're with in the service. Speak to the elders of the congregation, to the Sunday school teacher. Do not go away without Christ. Our loving Father, we do thank Thee for laying help upon one that is mighty. We know from Thy word and from our own experience that the Lord Jesus is the mighty to save. It is a true saying, this man receiveth sinners, and Christ's blood, it justifies freely from all things. And we pray that those in this service who are without the Savior, who are still in their sins and nearing hell's destruction, that Thou wilt in mercy draw them to Thyself. Give to them deciding grace. And may the angels bear the tidings upward to the courts of heaven. May they sing in holy rapture o'er another soul forgiven. Lord, meet the need of hearts in this meeting now, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us join in singing the hymn 227. The hymn number 227. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. 227.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank Thee for the promise that those that come to Thee, Thou wilt in no wise cast out. We pray that there will be a great entering in at the door of salvation tonight. Men and women will come repenting of their sin and trusting the Savior of the world. Lord, give deciding grace. Part us in Thy fear, and with Thy favor, we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.